We're joined now by Dan Ives. He's Managing Director and Senior Equity Strategist at Wedbush Security, talking about Apple shifting its production out of China. And Dan, it almost seems so obvious. You're sort of at a very young age not to put all your eggs in one basket. Is that what Apple did when it came to China? And is it now reaping the consequences of that decision?
Yeah, and I mean, they really dove into the deep end of the pool. I mean, in China, that's been a key part of their success, my iPhone production, and it really came to bite them, you know, in terms of in this Christmas season, the shortages that we're seeing on iPhones, the zero COVID policy, the protests and Foxconn, it's really, I think the clock struck midnight for Apple in China. Now they're going to have to look to diversify over the coming years.
You know, Dan, even before we got to the pandemic, I mean, during the U.S.-China trade war, the repercussions there, I mean, I recall we were doing stories on this program about boycotts of Apple products on the mainland. You'd think that that may have been a wake-up call for Apple back then.
Well, yeah, and look, I think for Apple, it's the hearts and lungs of the Apple story are in China. I mean, we're talking 90% of iPhone production, 20% of demand. The problem here is that the zero COVID policy in China has basically become untenable, unsustainable for Apple. And I think what we saw this month, it's been a train wreck situation. I mean, we're going to have 10 to 15 million iPhone unit shortages. And I think ultimately for Cook and Cupertino, it was a straw that broke the camel's back. And they really now recognize they're going to have to much more aggressively get out of China than they even thought, because they've been Teflon like up to this point.
So is it possible to quantify, what's your estimate of the impact on the next quarter of earnings for Apple?
Look, I mean, I think right now we're looking at 15 to 20% iPhone units that potentially, you know, could ultimately be thrown out the window because of the shortages. Now that ultimately moves into the March quarter. That's why the stock is not reflecting so much negativity, because it's more of a deferral. But I mean, when it really comes to the shortage, it's unprecedented for Apple. And I think that's something where it's the most important holiday season. iPhone 14 Pros, you know, they're, you know, to find those in the U.S. or even globally are almost impossible before Christmas.
Okay, so you're advising Apple now on what's next. How do you make changes to the production process? How do you make changes to the supply chain to insulate yourself against this type of event happening again in some form or another down the road? Is there a country in Asia that you feel that you could get production up and running, you know, pretty quickly? I mean, I would imagine the investment here, a company like Foxconn, this is years in the making. How do you negotiate this?
Well, look, I think that's the problem. I mean, in the near term, nothing is going to be solved. We're talking the next 6, 12, 18 months. But when we look out the next 2 to 3 years, which really has to start now, you look at India and Vietnam. Those are the two most feasible options in terms of where they could produce potentially more than 50% of iPhone, you know, production in those countries, because of the tentacles also with Foxconn as well. But that's when that needs to start today. That's why I think they're going to much more aggressively shift that production, because this cannot repeat itself. And I think this has been just a nightmare situation for Apple. And now ultimately the benefits of that will be the countries of India and Vietnam.
A part of the appeal of producing in China, obviously, scale keeps costs down. If you move production elsewhere, what does that mean for costs? And are consumers ultimately going to wear this?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think in the near term, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. I mean, the cost implications could be significant for Apple in terms of CapEx and what's going to be needed. And they're going to need to communicate that to Wall Street. But, you know, can they get to scale by 2024, 2025 in India, in Vietnam? I mean, it's not going to be easy, because what they've built in iPhone City is hard to replicate.
You know, and then you get into the world of regulation in India, particular, where I think that you have to, what, assemble more than 50% of the phone there? There's some number like that. Dan, help me, I can't recall, before you can sell into the Indian market. There are regulations that they're going to encounter in some of these jurisdictions, right?
Oh, significant ones. And that's something, these are all things they need to work through. It's really, it's a Rubik's Cube for them to figure out. And it's something they never really thought they'd be at this point, especially in 2022. But what's happened the last, call it 4 to 6 weeks, you know, it's really been a, you know, black cloud for Apple. And I think it's something that they now need to look to diversify for the first time really ever. They're going to seriously look to start moving out of China.
Well, we've drawn a pretty miserable-looking roadmap here, but you've still got an outperform rating on Apple. Talk us through your thesis.
Well, because it's demand-driven. I mean, the demand for iPhones today is 3-to-1 over supply. So we continue to view this on a supply-side situation. It's a disaster, but the demand is actually as robust as any technology company in this environment. That's why I view that they'll be able to navigate this, as painful as it is. We have a $200 price target, and that's why I believe this is more of just a painful rip the Band-Aid off situation rather than a time of throwing the towel on Apple.
Can you imagine a situation where the U.S. becomes a beneficiary in any way? Do they repatriate any type of production, maybe some of the semiconductors that get produced here? I mean, or maybe there is some type of a production process that is reshored in the U.S. Is that outside the realm of possibility?
I'd say 6 months ago, yes. Today, no. Because the Inflation Reduction Act, it's the first real legislation coming out of the Beltway in probably decades that's actually going to make a dent. And I think you're going to see not just Apple, semiconductor companies, even Tesla, as well as others, potentially move more production to the U.S. because the tax implications are massive.
Okay, Dan, good stuff. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. Dan Ives is Managing Director, also Senior Equity Analyst at Wedbush Securities, on the story of Apple shifting production outside of China.